It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. The Longhorns are well represented on the All-Big 12 baseball team. At 2:30, why does May 24th matter? A fake holiday for edible snails. And in mere minutes, it is my South by Southwest red carpet chat with the gang from the new Nolan Ryan documentary, Facing Nolan. And that includes the legend himself, Nolan Ryan. I'm Trey Elling. Cameron Parker is behind the glass, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yeah, we're going to get to that as quick as we can right after I tell you. Ball Don't Lie is coming up, then the Longhorn Blitz podcast at 7. And remember, 9 a.m. tomorrow for Texas baseball, 8:45 a.m. on that pregame. All right, Trey, let's get to it, including where the folks can see the documentary tonight.
That's right. Facing Nolan is the new documentary on the life and career of the great Nolan Ryan. It is actually showing in theaters for one night only tonight at 7 o'clock across the state and across the country. Here in Austin, you can check it out at the Regal Metropolitan Stadium 14 on 901 Little Texas Lane here in Austin. Also at the Regal Arbor at Great Hills 8 and South Park Meadows. Again, all show times are 7 o'clock. It is a family-friendly event, so if you want to take the young kids and expose them to the greatness that is Nolan Ryan, do it tonight at 7 at any of those three theaters. I had a chance to speak with several people involved in this project during its premiere at South by Southwest just a couple of months ago, and we're going to go in order here, starting with director Bradley Jackson, who is also a University of Texas alum, followed by Nolan's sons, you guys know them, Reed Ryan and Reese Ryan, and then finally the man himself, Nolan Ryan, and I may have gotten Nolan to smirk with my Robin Ventura comment. So here we go. Some of the group from Facebook Nolan, starting with director Bradley Jackson.
So are you from Texas? You from these parts?
I'm
What's your backstory?
Houston. Yeah, I'm from Houston, Texas. Grew up a lifelong Astros fan. Went to University of Texas at Austin. Made a bunch of films in Texas right after I graduated and then moved to LA a couple years ago. So.
Dude, congratulations. Thank this you. Is a huge deal. Obviously, yeah. You've worked yourself to a point to have this opportunity to get to document one of the greats. Yeah. What was the biggest challenge for you in really starting to get this story told?
I think the biggest challenge is the fact that he played for 27 years. So you got to make a choice of what story you're going to tell. And so picking, I mean, when you play for 27 years, you get a lot of highs. And when you're as dominant as he was for that long. So it's really just picking what are the best spots to showcase to make the most entertaining film, but also a film that tells a story, the ups and downs of a general narrative. And, you know, getting access to interviews was genuinely a joy and a breeze. You know, getting George W. Bush, getting Roger Clemens, getting Randy Johnson, Craig Biggio, it was actually pretty easy. Normally you would think they'd be really difficult, but with the Ryan family kind of at our back, it was very easy.
So. Was there anybody who said no?
The only person, and we expected it, was, two people. One was Sandy Koufax. He just doesn't talk anymore. I don't think he's interested in being interviewed about anything ever. And then the other one was, maybe it's a spoiler alert, but Robin Ventura. We tried.
You know what? I get it, but at the same time, I'm also disappointed.
We wanted to get him because we've heard he's a great guy. And that it wasn't, you know, it's obviously he probably regrets it.
It was a terrible business decision.
Yeah, exactly. But
well, so I was in Chicago for 6 years, and this was during the era where Nolan was still affiliated with the Astros, and he was the White Sox manager for several of those. Every time the Rangers and White Sox would play home or away, he would have to hear about it from the home crowd too.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just one of those. We dive into that end of the story. Don't worry, we talk about it.
I hear. There's some juicy details about the bottom of the pile that are going to be revealed.
That's some stuff that I don't think anybody really knew, because it was the only way you could know it is if you were Nolan Ryan. And so when you hear it from the horse's mouth, there's some cool, fun reveals about that story. You know, that's a story that's been reported on to death, and Nolan's a guy that's been covered for years and years and years. And I think, you know, getting some new, you know, there's some never before seen footage in this, and just getting to see a little bit behind the curtain of who he is as a family man, I think was one of the most enjoyable aspects of this film.
Well, congratulations on getting to be part of it. Congratulations on the premiere today, and thank you so much for the time today.
Of course. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
congratulations, guys. I'm so happy that, that y'all are here today getting to premiere this film at South by Southwest. Reed, just how long of a process was it for you in getting this made?
So we really started it kind of right in 20, right when COVID hit. And we had had some people over the years approach both Reese and I about doing like a 30 for 30 style film. And so Reese connected with Russell, right, first?
That's right. That's right. So, you know, Russell, we were getting a lot of inbound calls. And I really, when Reed and I were visiting, trying to figure out who our partner was going to be, we wanted somebody that we thought had a would work well with Dad and function well with the family and that was an extremely talented filmmaker. And we couldn't be happier with the guys we partnered with.
Yeah, I think the key to really getting the true Nolan Ryan to come out is, you know, if you have a connection, Texas roots, baseball, and Russell and Bradley really had that, then I think he ended up getting a comfort level with them. They were around him quite a bit at the ranch and some family events and at the stadium, and so that bond was important. But really, we tackled this project because we had some time on our hands. I had left the Astros, and we felt like if we were ever going to do it, now was the time to do it, and we felt like it was the right guys, and we just had a blast. So it's really been since kind of March of 20.
That's right.
So almost 2 years later, we're here, and, you know, it's just been a whirlwind.
Now, if I'm remembering correctly, your dad served as an unofficial assistant coach during at least one of your college careers, right? Or was he there for both of you guys?
So both, my last year and then Reese's years at TCU.
So what was Nolan like as a special assistant, Reese?
You know, it was a lot of fun. So most people don't realize Dad never got to see Reed and I play baseball growing up. He retired Reed's junior year in college.
Yeah.
And so it was a lot of fun to have him around. It was an interesting dynamic, right, because he'd coached me in basketball. And we had this relationship, but when you're on the mound and trying to get out of an inning and he comes out to talk to you, he might be a little frustrated that I didn't have the ability to get people out that he did, but it was a lot of fun.
Did he ever have to face a razzing from the away crowd?
All the time.
Tell him about Tommy Harmon. Yeah.
Well, we had some good battles with Texas, but my favorite fan harassing him story was when we went to play A&M and TCU's purple and he's wearing this purple top and he comes out to the mound. He's talking to me. I'm in a jam as usual, and the stands are chanting. And he goes, "What are they saying?" I said, "They're calling you Barney." He's like, "Who's Barney?"
Yeah.
I said, "He's a big purple dinosaur."
Yeah.
He's like, "Ah," walks off.
Yeah. So I don't think he, you know, he signed out of high school and went in the minors and then was in the big leagues. The college atmosphere he had never experienced till he got to be in the dugout with us. And as you know, it's unlike anything to have the Wild Bunch or A&M or Texas Tech fans rag you because they go deep in the what was back then, you know,
before
pre-internet.
Right?
Yeah, they would find out everything. So it's fun.
No doubt. All right, last question. Of course, this is all about guys facing Nolan, but one of the most infamous moments from his career. One of my proudest moments as a Texas Rangers fan was Robin Ventura making a very poor business decision to come out to the mound to visit your dad after an inside pitch. What was the reaction from the two of you? I don't know, maybe you were at the game or if not, just when you saw it for the first time.
You know, I was at the game and it was an awesome experience. I mean, it's unfortunate how it turned out, but I mean, just the atmosphere and, you know, the fact that he stayed in the game and came back and won, it was really, you know, kind of a pretty unbelievable story, but it was something interesting to experience, to say the least.
As serendipity would have it, I was playing in the Jayhawk League, and we had a day off, and my teammate was Jeremy Giambi, and he and I drove down, and everybody remembers Jeremy for the flip from Jeter not sliding, and we literally got to Arlington Stadium because the trip was a little longer than we thought from Kansas, and sat down, and two batters later, the fight happened. And so we ran straight to the locker room, and in between innings, we were getting all the blow-by-blow. It was pretty fun. And then after the game, that locker room, Reese was in there with us. It was an incredible night with the team in that locker room after the game.
Were there some bottom-of-the-pile details that the public doesn't know about till now?
Well, he talks about this in the film.
Yeah.
And I think he ended up on the bottom of the pile, and how he got out from under it was pretty interesting.
So. Yeah.
Can't wait to check that out. Guys, congratulations. Thank you so much for the time today.
All right, thanks. All right,
have a good day.
Guys.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for the time. So you just were talking about getting to hear from so many different adversaries from over the years. Was there any one person that you were most curious to hear about how they felt about facing you at the plate?
Well, no, not really. But, you know, the people that were the biggest challenge for you, which for me was a left-handed contact hitter that hit the ball where it was thrown and didn't chase bad pitches. So that puts George Brett and Rod Carew and Pete Rose in that category. And so, you know, you're always interested in seeing what their thoughts are.
I don't know how much you've spoken with him over the years about it, but I'm imagining that Robin Ventura was also talked to as part of this film. Were you curious to hear his thoughts on Facing You and then also the incident from back in the 1990s?
Well, you know, obviously it was unfortunate that the deal with Robin took such a life of its own. But
it was unfortunate for him because you got him good.
But, you know, it's just the way things go during the course of competition, and so I never thought anything else about it.
My co-host and I were talking about your greatness a couple weeks back, and we asked a question that it's a hypothetical, but perhaps you can provide the answer. How fast do you think you could pump it up there to the home plate right now? Could you break 80?
I would have to say no, because I haven't thrown a ball in about 5 years, and I'm 75 years old.
That's fair. Well, I can't wait to see the film, Nolan. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, thank you.
We have an answer now, Chad. He doesn't think he could break 80. I still kind of feel like he could, though.
I think he's trying to be humble. So in the world of golf, they're shooting your age. I think he can throw his age at least.
75?
If he says, yeah, I'm 75 now, he's trying to downplay, I'm going to say he can hit the 7.5 on the gun.
Maybe we give him a week to get the arm warmed up.
Yeah, dude, if you told him he needed to, I'm telling you, I think he'd go to work. I really do. I think you'd get out there and get it done. Good stuff there. And again, you got three locations: the Regal Met 14, the Regal Arbor Great Hills 8, and the South Park Meadows. If you are not locked into other things tonight, you want to get out there, especially if you're a big Nolan Ryan fan. Facing Nolan gets a local debut, as it were. Of course, it debuted at South by Southwest, but you get local screenings tonight at those three venues. I've been to two of the three for movies just like this, Trey, and I always have a great time. The Tyson documentary, the Lemmy documentary. I'm thinking of other sports stuff that I've gotten to see over the years. So the two Regals, I've never been to South Park Meadows, the movie theater. Those other two are good spots, though.
Yeah, I've been to Great Hills 8. I'm not sure about the Metro Stadium 14, but this is going to be a can't-miss documentary for sports fans.
Yeah, and I just wish they could have convinced Robin Ventura to be involved, because that would have been the icing on the cake. But still, to hear other people that faced him, that's going to be awesome.
And one of the things that I love about Nolan, there's obviously plenty of things that I love about him, is that both Astros and Rangers fans get this sense of pride when talking about Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, right. We all have a picture of him in the uniform we love, doing something incredible.
As a matter of fact, me as a Rangers fan, you know I'm going to default to Nolan's time with the Rangers, but There were a couple different poster options that I had to post that episode, the video and the audio form at booksonpod.com. I had to go with the Astros poster, because Astros poster looked a little cooler. Perhaps it's selling out by me, but I had to make the wise business decision there, Chad.
Wow.
Just like the Brockermeyers.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. Go check that out tonight if you like. Thanks to Nolan and Reed and Reese and the director for giving Trey some time. That is really, really cool. I'm glad they were able to make that. Glad the timing worked out for them. A lot of stuff on the board today. We've hit some football topics. Just something to keep in mind for next week. The SEC is having their spring meetings next week. And part of it, Longhorn fans, Sooner fans if you're out there, Aggie fans and others, is they're going to be discussing the future of the conference. What about divisions? Are they going to go with pods? Will there be no divisions? What about non-conference scheduling? How many conference games are you going to play? All of that is there. Greg Sankey claiming as many as 40 ideas are being thrown out. One of the ideas they're actually considering is an all-SEC 8-team playoff that would exist at the end of the year. Would they separate themselves from that? I think one of the most important things, two of the most important things, Trey, next week, if they can give us a sense for when Texas and Oklahoma start officially, because we think it's 25, but I'd love it to be sooner, and pardon the pun.
But, thank you for that.
I
don't think that they can say anything until Texas and Oklahoma can say confidently that they're going to be able to break that contract. So they're going to have to treat it like it does start in 25 until all of a sudden it doesn't.
Yeah. But the other key element is, what will Sankey and the SEC build? What kind of momentum can they build for whenever that next vote is on the playoff? Because he wants to expand. He wanted to expand to 12, and he's pissed for a lot of reasons, mainly because he put too much work into it. He's mad. Those around him say he's upset because of all the work they put in, and he feels like the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the ACC undercut him and took him out at the knees and took all those other guys out at the knees, Swarbrick and all those dudes that had put the work in. He was pissed because of that.
Well, they kind of did. Yeah. And part of that is jealousy, really starting with the Pac-12. But you can lump the ACC into this category because who are the two biggest cash cows in college football right now in terms of conferences? It's the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah.
The Pac-12 is jealous of that. And I think that jealousy got the best of them with regards to making a decision that seemingly hurts them as well, because they didn't want the SEC to become that much more powerful with so much uncertainty with regards to what was going to happen in the coming years until the current college football playoff contract runs out after the 25 season.
The other thing we've talked about that they may get into next week is about, are they going to go with divisions for a championship game or not? Will they state what they're going to do there? The more I've thought about it, Trey, whether it's a 4-team playoff or expanded, I think everyone is better served by going top two percentages. Best two teams play at the end. I think everyone will be better served that way, especially SEC. Because even if you got your two badasses playing, that's kind of what you have now with Bama, Georgia. But in a year where they'll both be good enough to go, even when one of them loses that game, that'll happen. In another year, one of them will get boosted by the fact that they beat the other, and then it moves on that way. But I think for any and all conferences, that's where we need to move towards that, where we're getting the best two teams at the end. I think ultimately that's best for the sport.
I agree with that in the short term, though. I hope the Pac-12 making the quick change that they have to where they are going with that strategy for the 22 season. I hope it torpedoes whichever team would be in the college football playoff, yeah, but they lose that game and all of a sudden they find themselves, yeah, on the outside looking in.
Hey, that's the risk. I'll call it the Kansas State factor. That Kansas State thing can always happen. The year that A&M upset, yeah, Kansas State, hey, those happen. The year that should have wrecked Oklahoma's year when Kansas State upset them.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't because the system was dumb, specifically that year.
2008?
Because they still, what was that, 03, 04?
Okay.
When they still got to play, even though they lost that game 35-7, that was silly. But those are the kind of games that should, if you can't win it, they should cost you. It should. You're trying to find out who's the ultimate best in the conference. If it's a repeat game, fine. If it's the first game, fine. But I think that's where they should go. Maybe we find out a little bit of that next week. Keep your eyes peeled for that. SEC spring meetings next week in beautiful Destin, Florida. And will Jimbo and Saban have a little meeting and a joint press conference with Sankey? I think it's a great idea. We need the three of them up there. Let's answer all the questions. Up next, why today matters on this May the 24th. What food item do you love that those around you think is disgusting? One of my favorites has a day today. This is the Horns. Nice usage of the technology there at the beginning. I like that. All right, I'm going to try to go off of a little context clue in there. You're going all Texans on a Tuesday. Travis Scott?
Yeah.
That would have been my guess.
Yeah. You heard, yeah, the Travis? You heard that?
I have nothing other than knowledge that this is his style of music.
All right,
I didn't even hear the reference.
That's my bad. I should have let you guess. You had it. Travis.
No, it's fine.
Scott.
I like you sticking your neck out there because I can always just ride your coattails if need be.
A little bit of the, is this considered auto-tune? I'm going to be the old man and ask that question. Is that what this is,
yeah,
considered,
it's,
right,
it's
now?
Yeah, auto-tune.
The auto-tune technology? Yeah. I thought that was a good usage there. Travis Scott. Any idea what part of the state?
Houston.
He's a Houston guy?
Yes.
Okay. Coming out of the lineage from Houston. UGK is Houston. Ghetto Boys is Houston.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I need to know out of Houston? Those are the two things that come to mind immediately.
Think Pimp C?
Pimp C is Houston?
Might be Port Arthur.
Bun B and Pimp C, I think, are PAT, yeah.
Okay. And Bun B and Pimp C are not a part of UGK?
They are.
Or they are, okay. That's
they
what
are
I
UGK.
Yes, okay. But not another artist is what I'm asking. There's not another big one I'm missing.
DJ Screw.
Beyonce, I know, is from Houston. DJ Screw, okay. Mm-hmm. Who we recently lost, right?
Yes.
Didn't DJ Screw die?
Not recently. He had too much of the purple drink years ago.
Okay. Oh, man, that's dangerous stuff.
Sipping on some scissorp. Not one of his songs.
Kids, stay away from it if they call it scissorp or the lean or any of that. Purple drink, stay away.
Purple drink.
Drank?
Yeah.
Drank.
Not purple drink. Purple drink.
There's no I in it.
No
it's
I.
An A.
Yeah. It's an A.
It literally is spelled drank.
Fair enough. All right. Thank you for keeping me cool. Or trying. It's really hard.
I don't know if that's what just happened.
No, it's never what happens. Thanks to Cameron for all the great music today. All Texans, Travis Scott, Billy Joe Shaver, Nelly, Willie Nelson, and SRV. Yes, Nelly was born in Texas, so we're counting that today. A lot of good stuff on the board, including this college football discussion with the SEC meeting next week. How are they going to orient things once Texas and Oklahoma get in? We had not mentioned it yet, but shout out to Justin Thomas for taking an opportunity to rip Jimbo Fisher after all the mess. He's a Bama guy through and through. They asked him after winning the PGA if he was going to use the 24-hour rule that Nick Saban always talks about for football victories. Enjoy it for a day and then you move on. He said, quote, I got a 24-hour rule. I'm not sure what Jimbo Fisher's rule is. I guess he's got to win something first before he figures out his rule. And then he went on. Whoa, easy does
man,
it.
Man, he went out of his way for that shot.
Man, that's come on, dude. There, all right, fair enough. The saga continues. The soap opera rolls on. I hope you're having a good Tuesday. Ball Don't Lie follows us. Longhorn Blitz podcast. If you're into Longhorn football, you definitely want to check that out. I'm sure the guys get into the latest transfer portal wide receiver for Texas, Tariq Milton. Helps round out this receivers room coming from Iowa State. And, Trey, one of your fellow Longhorn fans texted us earlier, do we have the best wide receiver group in the country? We feel pretty stacked right now in this wide receiver room.
I would pull it back just a little bit. Let's not go best in the country. I think we have a legitimate argument for best in the conference right now.
I'll say best in the Big 12?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a heck of a room. I think Tariq Milton's a good player. I like that addition for Texas. All right, let's jump into Why Today Matters and talk about some yummy food that nobody else likes.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Sometimes it just happens that way. You love the food, but people around you think it's gross. My wife thinks it's gross that I like them, and my daughter thinks it's gross that I like them. My mom thinks it's gross, and a lot of friends around me have thought it was gross, but ever since I first tried escargot, I love it. Today is National Escargot Day, Trey. First off, do you enjoy escargot?
It's okay.
Okay, not one of your favorites.
It is not something that when I see it on a menu, I'm excited and I have to order it. If somebody else orders it, I may have one, but I usually leave most of that for whoever placed the order.
So this really is a wheelhouse for you because you are a foodie. You're a food snob. We always talk about it. So there has to be a list of things that you're into that the people around you kind of think is maybe gross. So what do you think of when I say that? Something you love, but then most people around you kind of think it's disgusting.
So you just had it for the first time a couple weekends ago, but bone marrow is one of those things that's very polarizing.
Really?
There are people who are disgusted by bone marrow. My wife does not like bone marrow. Your wife, did she try bone marrow?
No, she didn't.
It did not appeal to her, and I completely understand
that. Just the idea of it. She didn't want to try it.
But those people don't recognize that, as Kevin Dunn and I believe Anthony Bourdain have put it, that bone marrow is God's butter, Chad.
Oh, yes, it is. I was going to say, it wasn't polarizing with me. I was on one pole with that one, and it was the good side.
I also tell people about one of the great regrets of my life. No, not avoiding the Soul Train style dance line at an Allo Block show a few years ago. All that is a regret. It happened when we were visiting Italy back in 2013, and we were in Parma. And that's one of the few regions, or the only region, excuse me, in that entire country that serves horse at restaurants.
Oh, wow.
Well, this is one of our first days in Italy, and I saw a horse steak on the menu, and I said, I'll try the horse steak someplace else. There's a couple of other things that look pretty good, and I didn't have another opportunity to try horse steak, Chad. So I guess my willingness to try certain things would gross a lot of folks out. I would try dog if it were a humanely harvested dog. I know that ticks a lot of people off because dogs are our house pets. On that Italy trip, I had cow brain. Cow brain, another one of those things. Not a whole lot of people want to taste.
Yeah.
It had a layer of breading on it, and it kind of tasted like a chicken fried steak to me, if I'm being completely honest about it. Cow tongue, another one of those things that I enjoy.
Yeah, I've never had that.
I'm an adventurous eater, and a lot of people are unwilling to go those places with me. Quite honestly, some of my best friendships are a result of the people who are willing to go those places with me. Another thing, this may be the worst of all of those options that I've just listed, because there is flavor to it, but it's also very chewy. It'd be like a stale jelly bean, kind of, in terms of the texture. Fish eyeball. Like, you get a whole roasted fish, and you kind of scoop the eyeball out, eat the eyeball, get to chew it up for a little bit. Yeah. It is a stale jelly bean, but man, is it packed with flavor.
My God, I told you. I knew he would have a list. I knew there'd be a list. Cameron, do you have any foods that you think are great that everybody else thinks is disgusting?
I don't know. I grew up such a picky eater. It was just chicken tenders and french fries until recently, so I don't think I've gotten to a point. I know some people don't like seafood around here, or that around my, maybe just my friend group.
There's some people like that, yeah, where even if you're eating seafood, it grosses them out.
My mom, like, she can't eat calamari because she sees the baby, was it octopi?
The squid.
Squid, stuff, whatever, and that freaks her out. I love calamari.
Well, maybe
calamari is good.
Maybe she actually knows where most calamari comes from.
Oh, here we go.
And it's not an octopus or a squid.
Here we go. About to ruin calamari for you.
Is it baby chickens like McDonald's does with their chicken nuggets?
You wish it was chicks.
Oh,
a lot of the calamari that's served at restaurants in this country is actually pig anus.
Just unnecessary. It's unnecessary mention every time.
So how do they get the tentacles? Is that just coming out of the pig's butt?
Well, you can put a little bit of octopus in there while also sell everything else as actually being calamari when it's actually pig anus.
Wow, there you go. All right, there's you take a perfectly good thing like I like escargot and you turn it into that.
Oh, you're talking about snails here. I'm talking about the innards and, well, kind of outards of a pig.
Whew, the snails in that drawn butter is so good.
Well, that's the thing about French cooking. I mean, you could take something that is actually called pig anus and prepare it French style, and all that is drowning it in butter, and it's going to taste okay.
As long as you give it a decent name, and it doesn't look like the thing that it actually is, I will try it. That's my general rule. So, like, I've been told that when you eat beef tongue or other forms of tongue, it literally looks like the tongue of the animal. You're going to have to get it to look a little different, and then I might try it.
I've got the name for pig anus.
Please.
Prepared French
please
style.
Please say anything else. Can you please say another word, please?
Bihole.
That's much better. Much better. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And that's what I'll be calling it going forward.
And since we're both music snobs, I probably should mention it's Bob Dylan's birthday today. Bob turns 81 years old, one of the most important figures in music. Even if you hate him, and plenty of people do, Bob's gifts to music are at least important enough to recognize. So like him or hate him, Bob Dylan does have a birthday today.
I am in the hate the guy category, but I do recognize his brilliance as a storyteller through music.
He is that. Yeah, he is that. And he's the most famous, I'll argue, he's the most famous person to ever utilize an amplifier. Because it is one of the most important moments in the history of all music. When he defied his people, plugged in and said, and combined two ideas. That was a huge moment, man.
Hmm.
And he got booed off. They tried to boo him off the stage for it. And he stood there and he took it. He took it night after night after night. Like, no, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Calm down. And he did three records straight that changed the game.
And many years later, he was the a-hole in his neighborhood on a multi-million dollar oceanfront property who had porta-pots all over the property so that he could void his bihole anywhere he wanted to on his property.
Like a rolling stone. All right. Happy birthday to Bob, and go get yourself some escargot today or some other stuff that maybe people think is gross. All right. Stems and seeds coming up before we get out of here, including the all-Big 12 team was named in baseball. You know one Longhorn that was on there. We'll see if anybody else is there, plus a couple other things before we get out of here. This is The Horn.
This young boy from Texas, so excuse my grandma. Big my standards, Deuce and Fanta. If I'm in the scene, I'm flexing in the camera. Check my fellas, we all flock the same. We birds of the same feather, we together. This forever, switching bezels every level. Me and Cinco push that two.
All right, just to wrap it up, about to wrap it up on a Tuesday. What do you got, Cam?
Courtesy of Nolan Holgan, requested it by his own San Antonio native and up-and-coming rapper Mike Dimes.
Mike Dimes, okay. Good name. I like that. You said San Antonio?
Yes, sir.
Nice. Mike Dimes joins Travis Scott and Billy Joe Shaver and Nelly, born in Texas, Willie Nelson and SRV Texans on the show today. Cameron does that every Tuesday. We appreciate his great work. We appreciate you listening. And the Big 12 has decided they appreciate a baseball team, and they're going to name an all-Big 12 first team. Let's jump into the stems and seeds. We'll tell you how many Longhorns are there.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. If I'm counting right, it's four Longhorns. Alphabetically, Silas Ardoin is on that list. Of course, Ivan Melendez is there too. Murphy Staley, who's had a great year, is a first-teamer. And Trey Pete Hansen, also on that list. Hansen and Melendez were unanimous vote-getters, the only two unanimous guys among the Big 12.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
For Melendez especially, but Pete Hansen has been nails on Friday night for this team for most of the season.
Remember, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning for their next game against Oklahoma State. Elsewhere, the Dwayne Haskins story, obviously the sad, tragic death, but now they're getting more info. Legally drunk when he died, 0.20 and 0.24, so right around three times the legal limit. Also, Trey, they found ketamine and norketamine in his body. Wow. Tough combination there. He ends up out on that roadway, got hit by two different vehicles, they know now.
Oh,
not
God.
Just the dump truck, but another car trying to avoid him hit him as well. And he died died in that situation, so they know a little more now. Terrible stuff.
That is awesome. Yeah. Awful. Awful.
Also in baseball, one game suspension for Josh Donaldson. The inappropriate comment. He was also fined. And they also say, Trey, that since he was a contributing factor to a brawl, that's another reason to give him a suspension. So those on his side say it's way too much. Those on the White Sox side say it's not near enough for calling another player Jackie.
Okay, well, I'm not giving Josh Donaldson the benefit of the doubt, even if he thought he was being funny. He clearly doesn't have that relationship with Anderson, and he is one of the biggest a-holes in the league, too, Chad. So I think he was trying to say something that had teeth to it, and unfortunately for him, it backfired. And I would have been okay with him maybe getting another game or two as a result as well.
Yeah, it's just kind of probably need to know that relationship, need to know how to deal with it there. He claims they've joked about it before, but Anderson would disagree with him.
He has joked about it before.
Right.
But he may have said something walking by like, hey, Jackie, and just keep walking, being the a-hole that he is and not looking back to see how that affected Tim Anderson. And I realize that sports are all about trash talk, but there is a line that you can cross.
It's almost like the bully years later saying, come on, we were just having fun in high school. No, you were having fun. I was getting glued to a locker. Like,
yeah.
Don't act like we were both in on the same joke.
You were spitting in my ear hole and then jamming your pinky in it. That wasn't fun for me, you jerk.
Yeah, that is not how we describe fun. So it is a one-game suspension for Josh Donaldson. Also a reminder tonight, Real Sports, two of the women accusing Deshaun Watson will be interviewed on Real Sports. I think that's 9 o'clock on HBO if you want to check that out. Again, those three locations for the Nolan Ryan documentary tonight: Regal Met 14, Regal Arbor, Great Hills 8, and South Park Meadows. 7 o'clock is the showtime for Facing Nolan tonight. Mavericks at 8 o'clock on TNT. A lot of different choices for you. And we'll be back for a Wednesday show after Texas baseball. Remember, 9 a.m. tomorrow for that start, Texas and Oklahoma State. Ball Don't Lie coming up, followed by the Longhorn Blitz podcast. Have a great one. Cheers!